Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Do you believe the previous interrogation techniques were immoral? I'm not asking, do you believe they were legal? I'm asking, do you believe they were immoral?
Senator, I believe that CIA did extraordinary work to prevent another attack on this country, given the legal tools that we were authorized to use.
Please answer yes or no.
They asked me, what do you think about waterboarding, Mr. Trump? I said, I love it. I love it.
CIA has learned some tough lessons from that experience.
I think we should go much, much, much further than waterboarding.
Senator, what I believe sitting here today is that I support the higher moral standard we have decided to hold ourselves to.
Can you please answer the question?
Hello and welcome to TrumpCast. I'm Virginia Heffernan. So today we're talking about women, good old women. I can't get enough of them, but it's not Stormy Daniels or Karen McDougal or Melania or Ivanka Trump or Sally Yates, Jane Mayer, or Hillary Clinton, God rest her soul, that we're talking about today. Instead, it's Gina Haspel, acting director of the CIA and nominee for permanent director. A vote is forthcoming. She is expected to be confirmed by a narrow margin, but really, as usual, no one knows what to expect. Haspel's a career CIA woman and known to be highly respected in the agency, having worked in Ethiopia, Turkey, Europe, Eurasia. And then in 2002, she ran a black site in Thailand, an operation called Cat's Eye, which was set up to prosecute Al-Qaeda suspects after 9/11. Now, at the time, waterboarding was considered legal. Remember that phrase? Enhanced interrogation technique, although it did have the look and feel of garden variety torture. She was chief of that site during the waterboarding of one Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri. That's documented. But a key issue in her nomination is also her role in the CIA's 2005 destruction of videotapes said to document these interrogation sessions. Now, in preparation for her hearing, the CIA declassified a 2011 internal disciplinary review written by then Deputy CIA Director Michael Morell that Haspel and her allies have said clears her name, exonerates her. There's some question about how extensive this review is, whether it truly exonerates her, and what role she played in destroying tapes. Even if you're not in the Senate deciding how to vote on her, this is all worth reviewing, but it's really complex. And I suspect that whether you overlook her commander role in Thailand or consider it disqualifying, nothing about what she did with the tapes will change your mind. Now, Republicans outnumber Democrats in the Senate, as you know, 51 to 49. Woo, that is close. And two Democrats, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Senator Joe Donnelly of Indiana, have said they'll support Haspel. Guess what? Manchin and Donnelly are both up for re-election in states that went to Trump in 2016. So that's cool. As usual, principle, conscience, and a commitment to American values. Not at all the terror of losing an election by crossing Trump. Win the day. Meanwhile, Senator Rand Paul has said he'll vote against Haspel. Libertarians are not big on torture. And of course, Senator John McCain, a one-time torture victim himself, has advised the Senate to block Haspel's nomination. Jeff Flake and Lisa Murkowski, particularly among the Republicans, have said they were heavily influenced by McCain's deathbed objections to Haspel. Trump's communication aide, on the other hand, the very noble and normal and grounded Kelly Sadler, said McCain's opinion wasn't worth much because he's dying anyway. And then, of course, okay, this shit never ends. Fox News had retired Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney repeat some bullshit story about John McCain giving up secrets in Hanoi. The fact is, McInerney said, John McCain, it worked on John. That's why they call him Songbird John. These methods can work and they're effective, as former Vice President Cheney said. Well, if Cheney said it, you know, it's got to be Chelly. And you can check Snopes. The Songbird John thing is fake news. So this all ties into my guest today, Theo Padnos. He's a journalist and torture victim who was held captive by Al-Qaeda for almost 2 years in Syria from 2012 to 2014. Theo is also a friend. I've known him some 20 years. We are going to talk about torture and Haspel and Guantanamo Bay. Now, Theo is not the usual TrumpCast commenter, but he's a journalist as well as a torture victim, and his experience was a reporting experience as much as a personal and physical one. Finally, while this isn't quite a trigger warning, it's not not a trigger warning. We will be talking about torture. We'll be back with Theo right after the break.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
Joining me in the studio is Theo Padnos. Theo, it is so, we just had an excellent breakfast together, and it's so good to have you here.
It's lovely to be here.
I know the story, but I really want to hear how you would say it now, because the story's changed a bit since you got out of prison in Syria. So what happened?
Right. I mean, the short version of my story is that in 2012, in October of 2012, I was like a hopeless freelance journalist on the Syria-Turkey border in Antakya. I met these three young Syrians who told me they were fixers for the Free Syrian Army, that they would take me on a little tour of Syria. They brought me into the country and like arrested me. The torture began right away with these three young men. They turned me over to the Al-Qaeda organization. They brought me to the central Al-Qaeda prison. At the time, Al-Qaeda and ISIS were one big happy family of torturers and marauders and, you know, mujahideen, they call themselves, which is fighters on the path of God. So I stayed with them for 2 years and I was released in August of 2014.
And the occasion for our talking is that you've written for Rolling Stone about the upcoming vote on Gina Haspel as head of the CIA. And she has also been part of torture programs before. And so you wrote an open letter to her.
Right. I mean, my feeling is that torture bureaucracies tend to resemble one another, and that the torture bureaucracy that I came to know, it exists in all of their prisons all across Syria, the same instruments and the same dialogues, and people from different factions like the ISIS guys that I came to know early on when they weren't even yet ISIS, and the people from Ahrar al-Sham, which is a different rebel group, and the Al-Qaeda people, they all, their torture system is like infected by the sick sexual hangups that they have. I kind of wrote about this a little bit in Rolling Stone. And I think part of my point in the Rolling Stone piece was that we have this extraordinarily valuable part of our culture, our society in the U.S. That's our U.S. military. When you meet these people, they're such like good Americans. You cannot be help but be impressed by the virtue and idealism of these young people. And we want to preserve their idealism and their goodness. And when they fall under the control of a sick command structure, they themselves can become sick in a moral sense.
Yeah.
And we don't want this to happen. So, because I think Trump himself is like will set the tone and does set the tone. And I think Haspel will do the same thing such that to allow torture to happen. As soon as it happens, this moral sickness begins to infect the command structure. And, you know, the people who survive this are going to come out and report what they survived. Yeah. And it's not going to look, it's going to come back. There'll be repercussions for generations to come against American citizens. You know, the people over there, the victims will be retaliating, you know, against us. We don't want this to happen. We want to preserve the goodness of those young people that join our military.
Didn't you say that at various times you felt like your treatment at the hands of Al-Qaeda was partly, or at least they framed it as retaliation for Guantanamo?
No, it was very explicit retaliation. They have America-specific tortures.
Okay.
And they put me through this, like the Syrians got torture X and I got the Guantanamo thing.
I see.
I had the stress positions. They go, do you know this? Do you remember this?
What's a stress position?
You know, where they have you like kneeling against a wall. I was in a room where other people are being tortured in the Syrian way.
Okay.
And they go, no, you're American. You come here. You did this at Guantanamo.
Okay.
At one point, they had me do like a fake water torture thing. I was handcuffed by my wrists to a scaffolding. They hung me from this scaffolding above the swimming pool, poured water over me. And where was this? Where did your CIA training happen? How long did it last? You got to tell us exactly, like, was it in Virginia?
Uh-huh.
You know, who were the trainers? Did you like it? How did it happen? I'm like, I'm not CIA. But they're pouring water on me. And it was like, I knew what they wanted to hear.
Yeah.
This is another one of my points in this Rolling Stone piece was that you will tell them anything that they want to hear in order to get the pain to stop. This, like, the nature of torture is anything that you can say or do to get them to stop doing it, you'll do.
So you probably heard that this military figure, Thomas McInerney, was on Fox Business Network the other day and said he was condemned John McCain as he's dying of cancer by saying that he was famous for being Songbird McCain during his capture. In other words, that he gave away secrets. But you say that even no amount of military training could cause you to...
That is certainly the case. I'm sure that is the case that it's an out-of-body experience. Like, you're not really part of... Your brain and your body are not linked. In those moments, like, the terror of torture is that you think they're killing you.
Yeah.
You think these are the last moments that you have on Earth.
Yeah.
You're trying to save your life. So you're going to tell them anything to clasp back to that existence that you see, like, receding into the distance. I want to live. Stop doing this.
Yeah.
So you talk and say anything that comes. And then they stop doing it and they put you back in your cell. I'm sure this is what our torture bureaucracies do, you know, because it's a continuous experience that happens over months, especially in Guantanamo. But it happened with me, too. They don't just go tonight and then you're done.
Yeah.
They go, tomorrow will be worse. So during that 24 hours where you're waiting for them to come the next time, or maybe they'll come in the next 2 hours, whatever, you're thinking of something, anything, any kind of tale that will get them to believe and accept that this is the truth.
Yeah.
So whenever they were out of my cell, I'm like, I got to think of something better.
But what's weird is the truth is obviously much easier to remember, and you don't have to say much more about it.
But they
you
don't
could
want
have
hear
said
it.
You're a journalist. Brought
I did. Believe me, I tried. They go, you're not a journalist, and that makes the pain worse. So this is how you learn what they want to tell you, because you say the truth, and that makes the pain worse. So you go, okay, stop the truth. Start lying. That lie isn't good. Okay, the pain is going away a little bit, and it's like you're getting warmer. And the more you lie, the warmer you get.
Ugh.
So it's like, you know, you're spinning a tale for your life.
And what did you ultimately, or you told them different things over time?
I told them I was a CIA agent.
Yeah.
And by the way, anytime—
And did they actually, like, physically recede or stop when they thought, well, this is an even higher value—
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no.
We thought. I see.
Yes. Sometimes I would tell them, I would say, I'm talking. Why are you torturing? They go, you talk, we'll torture. It's the endlessness of it. It's the total control that they have over your body.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing we can imagine is happening in Guantanamo, because they have like the law on their side in a way that they have all the time in the world. They totally control the environment. So they can draw it out. And perhaps they're going to, you know, every torture victim once in a while is going to run into some sadist who just likes it.
Yeah.
And is going to keep on doing it.
Yeah.
And they kind of want you to feel that way, like you're under our control now. And whenever we say we're done with this, but we might not be done with it, or we might just keep doing this until you die.
And during that time, you say in the Rolling Stone piece that you started to speculate about what the command structure was, who might be giving the orders. In a way, that was part of the torture.
That's right. Well, I'm not sure that one's mind goes to various places, but yeah, one wonders like what kind of a warped command structure is involved. And I eventually began to think like, because there are so many civilians or outsiders watching this and wanting to participate, people were coming in from the neighborhood, people that might have been legal authorities, people who are religious authorities, people from like children and old men. You thought, I began to think it's not really one commander here. It's something is unwell in the society out there that is bringing in all these people who want to assist in the torture. And I think I worry that our own approval mm-hmm. and our approval of torture as a method is an indication of where we are as a society. It certainly be taken that way. And who can say that those victims who speculate in this way will really be wrong when we have somebody who's so like morally perverse at the top of the command structure? We know about this guy's perversity. I'm talking about the Donald Trump. His own perversities are so much a matter of public record. Mm-hmm. It's legit to say this, isn't it? Because of what he has bragged himself about, the way he's talked about sexually assaulting women mm-hmm. with pride.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the kind of braggadocio and self-confidence that you get in Al-Qaeda with the happiness that they express when they talk about torturing people that they hate.
So there's when John Kelly came into the Department of Homeland Security before he became Trump's chief of staff, you know, he had overseen Guantanamo Bay and had he had sidled up to torturous practices, including force feeding hunger strikers, solitary confinement, and continually defied Obama. And what he said when he came to Trump's DHS is political correctness has inhibited us for too long. Is that a little bit what you're talking about, that there might be some kind of gloves off moment where bloodlust or lust takes over a torturer, or beginning at the top of the command, where it has
the environment in which they are carrying out the torture is an environment in which the torturers feel that they can live out their fantasies.
Okay,
and what kind of fantasies do they have? At first, it's just like this person is an enemy. This person has invaded our space and caused damage to my brothers, and I want to make him suffer. Yeah. But later on, when they have him there for over a period of months, they start introducing their sexual fantasies mm-hmm. into this thing. If the direction itself has these sick, unrelieved longings for revenge and desires to live out their fantasies, well, then the underlings are going to live out those fantasies. We don't want that to happen with our young men and women who are so good when you meet them. Yeah. Like, I have done some talks at military colleges, and every time I do this, I'm just like, these people are the best ones among us.
Yeah.
They're like... young idealists who want to go and defend America, and good for them. We need this. We need these people, but we want to cultivate and preserve and enshrine their idealism and not compromise it with methods that certainly will compromise their own, you know, integrity, their own sense of themselves.
You know, it does seem like there might be hawkish John Kelly types who would hear your story and say, "We need revenge on these barbarians, so we need a particularly American form of torture." That Gina Haspel might say, case in point, Theopadnos, we aren't going to tolerate that, that we need to amp up our least politically correct practices in order to, you know, as part of our defense strategy.
They have increased the danger during mm-hmm. the time in which, since the Iraq invasion,
mm-hmm.
Our military has made us more vulnerable mm-hmm. to Islamic fanaticism rather than less, mm-hmm. because we've expanded the moral authority of those groups who pretend to get revenge mm-hmm. for our invasions.
I see.
Like those people really have, you know, the fact of Guantanamo mm-hmm. is still echoing in the Arab world. The fact of Abu Ghraib is still echoing out there. And those echoes have yet really to reach us. They're coming. So we want to draw a line in the sand and say, we're not that society anymore.
Yeah.
But of course we are.
this is interesting because, you know, there's been complaints that we don't need to relitigate Guantanamo Bay, that it's in the past, and Obama ended the torture program and thus endeth our story. You know, we saw like Lindsey Graham, whose mentor, John McCain, was a torture victim. And Lindsey Graham has come out in favor of Gina Haspel's confirmation. So, and John McCain is obviously against. What is this built in forgetting? I mean, we now have John Kelly in a position of power, Gina Haspel potentially in a position of power. And yet we all seem to agree that there's something wrong with torture.
We can forget all we like, but mm-hmm. the torture victims do not forget. Part of the function of torture is certainly in Syria, but perhaps also our own military intention behind torture is that it doesn't stay in the facility, but it creeps out into the culture of the victim. Like he goes home and he goes, they did this to me, they did that to me. And the torturers want you to spread this story so that, you know, in theory, you will discourage people from, they wanted me to go home, or they would have showed my mangled corpse so that I would be an object lesson to anybody else who came into their sacred space and started trying to spy.
Like the journalists that came in after you and who were killed.
That's right. I mean, they want to make a propaganda point mm-hmm. by torturing you. And they know that, the more terrible it is, the more horrible the stories that seep out into the culture are. It's like torture victims often have difficulty describing what they actually did. So, you know, I just imagine many victims go home to their families and the kids say, Dad, what did they do to you? And the dad's like, shh, I'm not going to say. It's too humiliating. It's just such an abasement of yourself that you don't want to go through the details, especially not with your kids. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but those kids are chastened. However, I think that they're also enraged. Mm-hmm. And I think that torture has a way of like fructifying within the culture mm-hmm. so that it brings out anti-torturers. And when I was listening to this torture happen in my cell, I was just thinking like, how can you do this to your own society? Don't you know these men, if they survive, are going to have kids and those kids are going to come back and torture you. Yeah. If they don't torture you, they're going to torture your friends. You're just introducing this terrible cancer into the society that will eat the thing.
Yeah.
And so I feel that because we refuse to repudiate, and in fact, we probably reward our torturers, mm-hmm. we are, in effect, like introducing a sickness into the societies that we torture. And that sickness will come back and consume us eventually. Mm-hmm. So especially get the journalists. Because we're like the first, they're not going to get the CIA guys. They're always surrounded by military men and they don't put themselves in positions of vulnerability because they're into security. And the journalist is all about making himself vulnerable to the world so he can learn something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, we will not be able to do that in the future in Syria and in Iraq because making yourself vulnerable to that world makes yourself vulnerable to torture and getting your throat slit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Americans, by the way, over there, I mean, they are the... It's like we are the font of all evil for them because we are thought to preside over these torture empires, namely Guantanamo.
Yeah.
We refuse to close that prison.
Yeah.
Why can't we do that as a society?
Yeah.
It would seem that like the moral thing to do, but we can't do that. Something's wrong with us. We cannot repudiate torture once and for all. What the hell's our problem? It's such a, when we go in front of the public, we go, oh, yes, we don't like it. But to really repudiate it once and for all, we would have a proper non-torture in charge of the government agency that is most guilty of torture. Mm-hmm. And then we would also close the torture prisons. We don't do either of those things, so.
So Gina Haspel has said, as you point out in the Rolling Stone piece, she has said that she is now against torture. It's so hard to know, as you've said. Like, do you think she's sincere?
No, I don't think she's sincere, and I think that our command structure has rewarded the torturers, and she's like the poster child of torture reward. Mm-hmm. She has responsible for a facility in which it happened, mm-hmm. and later on, much later on, if she regretted this, it doesn't seem to have affected her behavior much because much later on, she destroyed the evidence of this torture. And now, as a consistent protector and of torturers, mm-hmm. she has now been promoted to the place in which she can sort of command structure in which it could happen again. So no, I think that if you were just looking at the bare facts of her case, you would say that she not only doesn't regret, but she is probably likely to invest more because it will mean more career success for her.
Theo, I mean, I know other people have said this to you before, but I'm so grateful that you lived because, we've talked about other torture victims on the show, Sergei Magnitsky, who, for instance, who didn't live. And it's such a complex story and we really need your voice. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that's the show for today. Okay, so we don't do this often, but if you liked the show, be sure to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. It really helps people discover the show. I mean, I'm not going to beg you, but really, the best way to turn somebody on to TrumpCast is probably how you got turned on to it. Just tell them in person, grab their phone, subscribe them to the show. TrumpCast is produced by Jason DeLeon. I'm Virginia Heffernan. Thanks for listening to TrumpCast.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.